Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the life of Scripture. Just about anything that happens on the world scene that becomes a teachable moment for Christians. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. In consideration of the Thanksgiving Day weekend, I'd like to continue what I began addressing last week in regard to gratitude. To begin with, consider Adam and Eve living in paradise. They had every need provided. They lacked for nothing physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. So how could Satan possibly get them to disobey God? Well, by making them ungrateful, by making them feel like victims. But how could he do that when they're living in paradise? Well, by making them focus on the one thing they could not have, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by making that lack a sore point, by getting them to focus on what they did not have rather than on what they did have. America is the most prosperous country in the world, currently and in the entire history of the world. You know, if you live in America, you are part of the one percenters. That's that derogatory term put forth by the left for the rich. But if you're living in America in 2019, even if you live below the poverty level, you are wealthier and you live better than King Henry VIII. You have better food, you have more food, you have better health care, even if you're on Medicaid. You have more access to information, to education. You have better transportation, better clothing, better shoes, better baths, better everything. We are living today as kings. And the American economy is booming. And yet how can it be possible that there's a whole party of politicians out there successfully selling socialism, communism, by claiming that our lives are so terrible? By claiming that capitalism and the wealth of others is making you poor. It's just completely absurd if you just think about it for a few minutes. But Elizabeth Warren stands up at a rally and says, "You've got things that are broken in your life. And I'll tell you exactly why. It's the giant corporation, billionaires, that have seized our government." And the Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that capitalism is irredeemable, and a system that allows billionaires to exist is immoral. Senator Bernie Sanders said that he doesn't even think billionaires should exist. It's absolutely absurd, but remember Genesis. Satan was able to make Adam and Eve ungrateful even in paradise by telling lies and telling them convincingly and by leaving off the true assessment of the situation by making the first couple feel like victims of the system. So let's realize that what we are seeing in this political resurgence of socialism is the deeds of the flesh. Envy, resentment, and greed. In the words of Winston Churchill, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is equally shared misery. And as Paul writes to the Ephesians, greed must not be once named among you, as is proper among saints. Ephesians 5:3. We must not only reject greed, but we must reject it in all of its forms, whether that be personal greed or political systems based upon greed. Greed that's dressed up as economic political theory. Don't be naive. Satan uses false teachers to tempt us to be envious, greedy, jealous. He wants us to believe that we're being cheated because we have to work, scrimp, and save to make our lives better, that we have to work by the sweat of our brow, and that what we have is not enough as long as somebody else has more. You know, I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. early in my ministry, I was doing children's after-school Bible clubs. And I did a lollipop scavenger hunt. Not those cheap lollipops you get from the bank. I'm talking those Tootsie Roll lollipops. And I will never forget, one little girl ran up to me to show me how she had found three lollipops. And she was beaming ear to ear. But while she was standing there, a boy ran up and showed me that he had found five lollipops. And I'm not making this up. That little girl's face went from joy to complete rage. And she stomped off in a huff. The news last week. Iranians are protesting and burning down gas stations because the Iranian government raised the price on gas. Now, at first, you might think that the evil Iranian government is just taxing the people. No, the rioting was because gas went from 34 cents a gallon to 50 cents a gallon. The government of Iran has been subsidizing gas for these people. They've been selling it under cost as a form of charity. And now the people actually have to start picking up the cost of what it takes to refine gasoline. And so what do? They riot. You know, the problem for most people is not what they have, but what they have in relationship to others. Rather than seeing the big picture historically, internationally, morally, you know, in a hypothetical world where almost everyone owns a mansion, there would still be people complaining that they only had a 6-bedroom, 2.5-bath colonial. And in a world where almost everyone eats filet mignon, there would still be people complaining that they had to eat strip steak. And this is exactly what's happening in America. What's happening among the spoiled, the greedy, the ungodly. They're ungrateful. They're never satisfied. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. And that's the philosophy of the greed of socialism. Never satisfied, never saying enough. Isaiah 56:11. The dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied. And they're shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. The shepherds are the politicians, the social leaders. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. And they, the false prophets, in their greed will exploit you with false words, lies. And these false prophets include politicians, social activists, communist Marxist Bolsheviks, and they exploit the public with lies. The Christian community needs to call this out. Following the example of Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tells humanity what a miserable, unfair life you have, Christians need to show up and cry, foul play, and we need to expose Satan's smooth-sounding rhetoric for what it is. Lies. Now, these false teachers in this socialist movement are saying that this is all about charity. But the movement is really not motivated by charity for the poor. Otherwise, they'd be speaking strictly about charity programs. This is motivated by envy. It's not so much about bringing up the poor as much as it is about bringing down the rich. Here's an article in the Federalist entitled, "Top Motivation for Hating Capitalism Isn't Compassion, It's Resentment." This comes from a study by the Cato Institute from their 2019 survey on what Americans think about poverty, wealth, and work. But we don't need this study to tell us that the motive behind communism, socialism, is not compassion for the poor. Because the Word of God explains what is really going on here. Communism, socialism is a hatred of inequality. That it's not right for any person to be rewarded more than me. That it's not right for someone to be smarter, stronger, more successful than me. It's not right for God to accept Abel's offering and not Cain's offering. It's a hatred of work. It's a hatred of accountability. It's a hatred of God's calling and blessing upon others. It's a, I want a world where there are no property rights for others, where there are no rich people above me, where there are no Jobs, who was the richest man in the Middle East, Job chapter 1, verse 3, where there are no Abrahams, Genesis chapter 13, verse 2. Now, Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And remember, Abraham's servant said to Rebekah, Genesis 24, 34, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master, so that he's become rich and has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. And also his son Isaac, Genesis 26, 12. Now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. But notice the next verse, Genesis 26, 14. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so the Philistines envied him. Who resents the rich? Who thinks the success of others is unfair, it's undeserved? It's not God's people, but the ungodly. They are the ones who are characterized by economic envy and resentment. The envy of socialism is the attitude of Joseph's ungodly brothers. Joseph received a special coat of many colors because he was righteous and his brothers were unrighteous. Genesis 37, 4, his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Genesis 37, 8, then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. We see here the resentment that flows out of the ungodly when God gives someone greater authority and blessing than they. And Joseph is a type of Christ. The Pharisees put Jesus on the cross out of envy, Matthew 27, 18. And people in their greed and bitterness resent anyone who is blessed of God. A number of years ago, I was attending an American history lecture, and a woman, seeing that I was a pastor, kept questioning me about the story of Joseph, trying to get me to say that it was just so unfair of Jacob to give Joseph a special coat. It didn't occur to me at that moment what this woman was really after. But later I realized that the story of Joseph really bothered her because she was a resentful social justice warrior who had been drinking the socialism Kool-Aid. The whole story of Joseph irked her because it thwarted her view of justice, a view that she was convinced was morally superior to the biblical worldview of accountability, blessing, property rights, individual responsibility. So, AOC, Congresswoman Cortez, gets up at a Bernie Sanders rally and says the following, and this epitomizes the smooth-sounding envy of socialism. Quote, Congresswoman Cortez says, the future of America is in public systems and public-owned systems. That's communism, by the way. Because she says, we need to take power over our lives again. I don't know about you, but I don't want Mark Zuckerberg making decisions over my life. I don't know about you, but the Waltons, Walmart, have already been making decisions over our lives, and what we get is nothing. We need a United States that is really, truly, authentically operated and owned and decided by working with all people in the United States of America. And then the audience breaks out and cheers and applauds like sheep to the slaughter. So do you hear what she's saying? She is the Philistine who says, I don't want this rich guy Isaac having any influence on the society. Or I don't want this rich guy Job being the greatest man in the East. And so what did Satan inspire the Chaldeans to do? Steal Job's livestock and slay his servants. Congresswoman Cortez believes and promotes this lie that if government owns everything, then everyone owns everything. It is just so naive to believe that being free of private ownership is the answer to all of our problems. That's 1984 Orwellian thinking that slavery is freedom. But she is really rejecting the biblical truth of individual God-given property rights. That's the problem here. Remember, King Ahab was condemned by the prophet of God for taking Naboth's vineyard. Not even the king had the right to take the property God had allotted to the individual family. So that's God's word on the issue. The future of America is not in public systems and publicly owned systems. That is, if the future of America is to be blessed, being in God's will. God's plan is for property rights and even material inequalities. We're to accept what we have from the hand of God and simply work to be good stewards of what we've been given, to grow the piece of pie that we've been given. And the fact that other people have a bigger piece of pie doesn't mean that that person is taken away from our piece of pie. Because we can grow the pie. We can grow the whole wealth of the nation by our labors. Now, AOC said that we have gotten nothing from Walmart, which is a lie. Walmart has created all sorts of market efficiencies and has made us all wealthy. Walmart employs 2.2 million people. It's the largest employer in the world. It's just amazing how ungrateful and how ignorant these socialist communist ideologies are. How they're resentful of the very people and the very gifts that make our lives so much better. Sanders, Cortez, Warren are all telling us how evil these billionaires are. Yet look at those countries where there are no billionaires. Nigeria, Ethiopia, Sudan. Look at how wealthy those people are because there are no rich people and no rich corporations to take everybody's wealth, to take their piece of the pie. Oh, wait a minute. Those countries are in abject poverty because you need billionaires to have millionaires. And you need millionaires to have people who make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. You never get a job from a poor person. So thank God for rich people who can invest and utilize other people's labors. Now, realize most people reject socialism on the basis of its practical failure. But let's remember that it's first to be refuted on its ethical failure, a rejection or disbelief in God-given property rights. That is what is at the core. These socialists do not believe it's right for people to own and grow their own property. Oh, by the way, last month I bought a new television set. A 50-inch LED 4K smart TV for about $300. In today's dollars, that was a fourth of what I spent for a 25-inch cathode ray tube back in 1985. You know, it would take me a lifetime to invent, design, build a 4K smart television set, but I can buy one now for just a few hours of my work. And so I am not resentful toward the international LG Corporation. I want them to make a profit. I'm not resentful toward Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or Sam Walton or any of these other corporate billionaires, because their wealth increases my wealth. I'm thankful that Bill Gates created an operating system and that he organized people to help him develop and expand it. And I wish there were a million more people like Bill Gates. So here's a question. What is your mindset? Are you thinking biblically about the economy and property rights with gratitude? Or have you been spoiled by the philosophy and empty deception of resentful socialism? Let me conclude with a great example. There's a sci-fi movie that came out in 2016 called The Passengers, with Chris Pratt and Jennifer Lawrence. Not that I'm promoting movies, but the dialogue illustrates how people view the economic world differently, based on their values, their belief systems. Pratt and Lawrence are space travelers on a ship built by a huge, wealthy multinational corporation, the Homestead Company. Jennifer Lawrence's words show that she is a leftist socialist. Chris Pratt's response shows that he is a conservative, free market capitalist. So Lawrence asks Pratt, "Why did you sign up for this trip?" Pratt says, "Well, I guess I wanted a new world. I don't know, a fresh start." Jennifer Lawrence says, "Well, that's the Homestead Company's advertising, isn't it?" Pratt responds, "I know, I guess. You're right. Back on Earth, when something breaks, you don't fix it, you replace it. The colonies, they have problems to solve. They're my kind of problems. And a mechanic is somebody. This is a new world, still being built. I could build a house and I could live in it. Open country, room to grow." Jennifer Lawrence sneers, "Now you're back to slogans." Pratt says, "Can't slogans be true?" Lawrence says, "Do you know how much Homestead Company made off of its first planet? $8 quadrillion. That's 8 million billion. Colony planets are the biggest business going. Do you pay full price for your ticket?" Pratt says, "No, I'm a desirable trade." Lawrence says, "Oh, so they fill your head with dreams, discount your ticket, and you fly off to populate their planet and give Homestead 20% of everything that you make for the rest of your life, not to mention the debt you run up on this fancy starship." So Pratt says to Lawrence, "So all you see here is 5,000 suckers. "No," says Lawrence, "I see zeros on the Homestead Company's bottom line." Pratt says, "I see 5,000 men and women changing their lives for 5,000 different reasons." Lawrence says, "You don't know these people. I'm a journalist. I know, really." So who's right? Is the Homestead Company cheating people? Or laboring for profit in a just and God-ordained way for the good of the entire human race? And the answer to that question is not found in our opinions, but in the Word of God. The Bible is not silent about this social, economic envy taking place in our country. And it's not silent about the damage it does. The best quote I heard last month was from Andrew Clavin. Quote, "If you don't have God in your life, you'll begin to believe a lot of crap." Sometimes you have to be graphic, just like the Old Testament prophets. Well, based on Romans 1:21, if you're ungrateful, if you see the world through the eyes of envy, you will begin to believe a lot of crap. And that's Romans 1:21. "They did not give thanks, so then they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Don't fall for Satan's envy, resentment, and ungratefulness. If you do, it will ruin your life, your family, your country, your eternal soul. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version, the extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for making God and Country part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may we embrace a life and philosophy based upon gratitude. And thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.